Welcome back to another episode of Pilcrow and Dagger the Shorts. My name is Amory Silver, and I'll be joining you today as we present episode 30, Cold Brood, by Kevin Roller. But first, a few announcements. Submissions for the October issue are now closed. We are now accepting submissions for the November-December issue. The theme for this issue is, Do You Remember? Do you have a personal story to tell? A time in your life you want to immortalize? Send us your memoirs or memoir-like submissions today. The deadline for this issue is October 11th. And as always, if this theme doesn't inspire you, send us whatever it does. We're always excited to read your essays, poems, and short stories. And now, I proudly present episode 30 of Pilcrow and Dagger the Shorts, Cold Brood by Kevin Roller. Nathan hated the smell of coffee. He hadn't always. 6 months ago, the prospect of smelling it all day, every day as a barista had even excited him. Earthy and homing and warm all at once. But now it conjured thoughts of lipstick-rimmed mugs, of fastidious hipsters. I had this one, vanilla, espresso-y and milky, but not too milky drink in New York last winter. Do you know what I mean? It was hot, but not like super hot. Can you make that? Of damp, warm coffee grounds that would have to be scooped out of the brewer by hand if the new girl hadn't placed the filter the right way. A trend he didn't think was going to break anytime soon. Now the smell of coffee made his stomach clench, made the taste of vomit bubble up in the back of his throat, even made him angry. Morning, Nathan, said the new girl, Cassandra, as she came through the door. Morning, he said. She was 6 minutes late, but he wasn't going to say anything, though he wasn't going to forget either. Crazy morning, huh? Yep. Traffic's pretty rough out there, and it's windy. Lots of people headed to the marathon, I assume. Marathon? Cassandra said as she came around the corner. I thought it was a charity bicycle ride. Nope. I'm pretty sure it's a marathon, Nathan said. Cassandra stared off into space, tying her apron around her back. He knew he was wrong. The flyers he'd seen splattered all over town featured a cyclist, not a runner. But he was in no mood to admit a mistake, to admit that he misspoke, not with the corrosive odor eking out of the brewer. A customer walked through the door. Good morning, Nathan said. Morning. What can I get you? Crazy out there. Crazy weather. Crazy traffic. Nathan was used to non-sequiturs like this. Very few people were prepared to have a conversation at 5 a.m., no matter how frequently their day started at that time. Yes, indeed. I heard the marathon is really clogging things up. The man furrowed his brow. Marathon? Nathan smiled. He could feel Cassandra's sly glance from the other register. What can I get you? Coffee with cream, no sugar. Cream's at the station behind you, Nathan said. He plucked a disposable cup from under the counter and filled it with stinking, overly hot coffee. Don't you just love that smell? The customer said as he handed Nathan his card. Nothing else like it in the world, he said. The morning dragged on slowly, reaching a frenetic but sustained crescendo at around 7. More than a few customers wearing brightly colored spandex mentioned riding their bikes to the shop, which Nathan tried to ignore. Glad that's about over, Cassandra said, her forehead and apron dappled with spots of coffee. They had just served the last customer in line. The shop felt oddly quiet. Me too. Did you see that one guy who wanted that caramel thing? Hard to miss him. I don't know what he actually wanted, or even what I ended up making for him. It was like a half coffee, half steamed milk thing with like 6 pumps of caramel. Not the flavoring either, but the caramel we use for pastries. I know. He did that to me once, but he didn't mess around with the coffee for me, and he asked for way more caramel. Maybe he's watching his figure. Maybe, Nathan said. He's starting to look more like an oval instead of a fat tomato. Progress, she said with a grin, as she wiped the counter with an old rag. She was young, probably a sophomore in high school, and for that reason he wanted to dislike her. He felt that a man at his age with his talent should not hold a similar position to a cheerleader. Presumed cheerleader, but he didn't think he was wrong. Nathan pulled the coffee basket out of the brewer. The filter inside was folded and matted together around the coffee grounds, like a full diaper. Oh no, I did it again, Cassandra said as he smacked the basket over a trash can, like it was a bottle filled with gummy ketchup. "It's fine, it happens," he said, trying to sound even-tempered but probably failing. Once gravity had done as much as it could, he ran a gloved hand over and around the basket. The combined warmth, odor, and texture of the spent grounds made the gases of his stomach churn and boil, threatening to come to the surface. He'd probably done this about 100 times, and would probably have to do it 100 times more, but his petulant gut reacted the same way every time. There was no getting used to it. Not for him, apparently. "How did the painting go this morning?" Cassandra asked, an obvious attempt to change the subject. "Eh, so-so," Nathan said. "Judging by the pink and navy on your arm, I'd suspect otherwise." Nathan made a show of pinching his lips together and lowering his brows, scanning the skin for the paint streaks until, amazing, he found them. "I thought I got it all off this morning," he said with a grin. "Guess you missed a spot." He chuckled as he placed a new, clean liner in the basket. The violence in his stomach began to subside. "Guess so." The truth was that Nathan had put the paint there himself. He preferred to paint at night while the rest of the world was asleep, and his windows were pitch black. But he did try morning painting for a little while. Eventually, he realized that morning painting for a barista meant waking at 3 a.m, and even then he was only guaranteed an hour or two of actual painting time, so he dropped it. One morning, towards the end of his experiment, he had rushed to work without showering, leaving a smattering of red and purple on his forearm. An attractive blonde noticed the paint on his arm, commented on it, winked at him, and then left the shop, never to return. Nathan had never been lucky with women. The stereotype of the bohemian painter with a bohemian lifestyle, drowning in bohemian women, turned out to be a total crock, at least in this town. So when something caught a woman's attention, he remembered. Running a wet brush up his arm or along the crest of his forehead became a part of his morning routine, just like brushing his teeth or smoking a cigarette. "What are you painting?" Cassandra asked. "Oh, I'm not really sure yet. It's more of a mood I'm trying to capture. Whether or not it looks like anything would be more of a happy coincidence as opposed to my outright intention." "I see," Cassandra said, nodding, obviously not seeing. She was in high school. No way she'd understand anyway. "What's the mood?" "Something like a frustrated ennui." She dipped her rag into a small sanitizer bucket. "I see." That night, he was absorbed by YouTube and gin. Not the prettiest picture, or the most dignified, but he was too apathetic, or drunk, to care. He'd been sucked down a rabbit hole watching car chases, recorded by dash cams or news crews, or the occasional camera phone. Though the videos were essentially dull, they always ended the same. There was something fascinating about them that he couldn't quite put his finger on. The moment of hesitation, the dramatic irony, when the approaching police officer doesn't expect what's about to happen, maybe the driver doesn't either, before the car starts to pull away. Apparently, 6 million other people found that last video just as fascinating as he did. He forced himself to stand. The gin rushed to his head and made his eyes swim about the room until they could adjust to this new height. His last painting was still on the palette, pink and navy. He hadn't lied about that part, at least. Sprouted violently from each corner, reaching long tendrils across the canvas, the tentacles grew curly and smooth the further they reached, some pink and navy twisting together, but most terminating in pathetic spirals. Frustrated ennui. That hadn't been a lie either. The new painting, board number 5, had not seen fresh paint in over 2 weeks. A thin coat of dust formed over its top edge. Its tendrils, so exciting and raw before the paint had dried, now seemed sad, jejune, even pathetic in a way. Board number 1 through 4, along with "I am tired of being awake in this world" and "Midnight Sushi Roll," and a few others he forgot to name, were hastily stacked behind his workspace. He'd misplaced or sold a few others, more the former than the latter. He poured himself another belt of gin and downed it. 4 years of art school for this. His graduation had become a fulcrum of his adult life. His first day as a wide-eyed freshman, now equidistant to this dingy apartment, those unsold paintings. 4 years on either end. 8 years total. And what did he have to show for it? More than once he had thought about spraying his paint cleaner, a self-proclaimed, natural, environmentally friendly, tin of chemicals, a Christmas gift his mother gave him from back when they still exchanged Christmas gifts, all over his unsold paintings. Maybe some critic would see his scarred art as a declarative statement, something about artistry and commercial failure. And if that didn't work out, there was always gasoline and matches. Not that he could really afford either on a barista's salary. Another pour, another swallow. He couldn't succumb to maudlin self-pity right now. Even though he had the next day off and could, theoretically, get as drunk as he wanted tonight, though he was, at the moment, far from sober. He had to paint tomorrow. He just had to. Nathan sat back down on his couch and pulled his laptop close. But instead of returning to the videos, something else caught his eye, a headline on his homepage. Artist stabs bank teller in fit of rage. He opened the article. He knew that name. Arthur Coldwell, and where to find his art. Nathan quickly left the site and found the artist's webpage. His paintings, normally listed at $250 a pop, max, were now in the thousands, and they were mostly sold out. He had another drink, then another, then probably another, but he couldn't be sure. He slowly worked to the thrumming of a hangover. The bottle of gin on his desk was almost empty, offering just a few drags at the bottom. When and why he had laid into it so hard he couldn't remember. Nathan took a shower, alternating between hot and cold water, as if the pain in his head could be soothed away like sore muscles. He dried and dressed himself. He pulled the smock over his head, knowing he didn't have any ideas. He stared at board number 5, the dry palette in his hand. Before he knew it, he was back on the couch and opened his laptop. Last night's web pages were still open. Arthur Coldwell's sight in one tab, tasteless poisons in another. Nathan slammed his laptop shut. Why had he searched for that? What had brought him there? He tried to conjure memories of the night before, like a worm squirming through a particularly thick apple. Car chases, a stabbing, painting sold out, way, way too much gin. He reopened the laptop and visited some new sites. The headline about Arthur's crime wasn't the most prominent. Typically on the borders or at the bottom of most pages, but it was everywhere. In just a few hours, Arthur had garnered more publicity than he'd ever get as an artist to massive profit. Nathan opened an article. Arthur's rent check had bounced. He hadn't sold a painting in 2 months. He went to the bank to clear things up. When the teller said that Arthur's account was empty, past empty, that he actually owed the bank money, Arthur pulled a butter knife out of his pocket and stabbed the banker's hand. Why a butter knife? Nathan wondered. Why did he have it in the first place? The story was strange enough and dramatic enough to land him a place on news homepages, though it was a slower news week, which, in this global climate, was another happy coincidence in Arthur's favor. So why the poisons? Why Google that in his drunken stupor? He began to remember, the same dark epiphany flowering as it had the night before, but it had seemed more real then, like it were a viable, if not practical, and entirely reasonable option. He'd even managed to find a poison that was in his own workshop, the all-natural paint cleaner. But that was insane. That was the act of a lunatic. He closed the browser, and for good measure, cleared his history, then powered off the computer. He took a deep breath and returned to his painting. It loomed before him for several hours, as did his other paintings, watching him with unseen and uncreated eyes. Clean the basket, wipe with paper towel, place the filter, scoop the grounds, replace the basket, press brew. The machine surged and sputtered to life. Soon enough, the air was tinged with the grossest smell of coffee. Morning, Cassandra said. She looked well rested. Nathan hated her for it. You're late, he said. She looked at him distressed. I know, I'm sorry. My mom had to drive me in today. She's not always the earliest riser. Okay. I share a car with my brother, she said, tying her apron around her back, not looking him in the eye. Sometimes he'll have too much to drink and will just sleep wherever, or he'll just crash at his girlfriend's without telling me. That sucks, Nathan said, no feeling behind the words. Yeah, he's really inconsiderate. I'm sorry I'm late. It's really not my fault, I swear. I see, Nathan said, trying not to smile. They both knew she had other options. They both knew that she lived only a quarter mile away from the coffee shop, that she could walk to work in a hurry if she were so inclined. He couldn't decide if he felt bad for bringing it up or if he was pleased to watch her squirm. Then board number 5 asserted itself in his mind, sitting dry and dusty on the pallet, and he felt nothing. The next morning, he put the paint cleaner in his back pocket, but he didn't know why. The coolness and weight of the small container in his back pocket was, somehow, comforting, even reassuring. "Excuse me," said a petulant voice behind his shoulder. Nathan was scooping out the basket again. Cassandra had stopped, apologizing for the constant filter slip-up. It had become a part of her workflow, another part of her day that, partially due to Nathan's help, she had no real incentive to change. "Excuse me," the voice said again, clearly from someone who wasn't accustomed or prepared to be ignored. Nathan gave the basket one last smack on the side of the trash can and tossed it into the sink. A woman with deep bags under her eyes and a profusion of red hair, one of the regulars that he'd irritated more than once, stood at the counter. "Help you?" Nathan asked. "Maybe, maybe not. This drink," she said, plopping one of their signature green cups on the counter, "isn't at all what I asked for." "Sorry for that. What was it?" "Well, it was supposed to be a skim milk cappuccino with cinnamon and a shot of espresso, but it seems to me that one of you behind the counter decided that I didn't deserve the cinnamon." He picked up her drink, eyes downcast, feigning the obsequiousness that these types craved from service staff. The cinnamon was hidden among several other spices and syrups tucked between two of the brewers and the milk steaming machine, out of the customer's sight. He thought about that bottle of gin and those unfinished paintings and the cleaner in his back pocket. Nathan leaned around the equipment. The woman was on her phone, head craned down. It'd be too easy, almost way too easy, for him to do it, to poison her coffee, to send her off with a cup full of death, fitted with a comfortable, compostable cardboard sleeve to avoid burnt fingers. Cassandra was tending to another customer. Nathan pulled the container out of his back pocket. He unscrewed the lid. It had no odor, which, for some reason, made him think it had no taste either. A brewer hissed and gurgled out fresh coffee. He couldn't watch his hand do it, so he stared at an angry red curl on the woman's head, bob up and down, up and down. He felt his hands hesitate, felt it hover in the air over her drink. "Here you go, ma'am," he said a moment later, handing her the cup. She smirked and took a sip. "There's my cinnamon. A little strong, but I'll let it slide this time. Don't want anyone to have a brain aneurysm back there." She walked away before Nathan could respond. Cassandra sighed. "Sounds like she was a piece of work," she said. "Yep, always is. Once she chewed me out for some paint on my elbow, said it was unsanitary and that she wouldn't be coming back. But it couldn't have been 2 days before I saw her again." "Yeah, she seemed like the type. One of those people who always finds a reason to yell at a store manager." "Hit the nail on the head there." Nathan went back to the barista station. He didn't know how to feel. Guilty, shocked, disgusted, maybe even angry. But for whatever reason, he settled on mild surprise. As he put the container in his back pocket, still warm from the palm of his hand, he contemplated what was in the paint cleaner that made it taste like cinnamon. The next morning, he walked to the door and stopped dead in his tracks. Cassandra was there, on time for her shift, a clear plastic cup filled with iced coffee in her hand. "Morning," she said. "You're here early," Nathan said. "Yeah, I know. You inspired me yesterday. Made me think that maybe I should start getting my act together. Know what I mean?" Nathan walked behind the counter. He tried to tie the apron behind his back, fingers fumbling at the strings. "Not sure what you mean." "You stayed late." "That I did, but so what?" She laughed and took the strings from his hands. He felt oddly vulnerable with her behind him. She tied the apron snug. "Well, I mean, you had this great idea out of nowhere, and you put in the extra hours to get it done." "Oh," he said, trying to sound calm. "Oh, that was nothing, really nothing at all." "Come on, give yourself some credit," she said, taking a sip of her iced coffee. "Cold brewed cinnamon coffee, and with autumn right around the corner, it's not so cold that people only want hot coffee, and the leaves have just started turning too. There's a lot of brown and orange on the trees this morning. Did you notice?" "No," Nathan said. "No, I guess I didn't." Cassandra sipped her coffee through a small grin. He could practically hear the liquid traveling up the straw, sliding down her young, innocent throat. "As an artist," she said, "I imagined you'd pay more attention to the colors outside." "Maybe. Yeah, you're probably right," he said. "I should pay more attention. But maybe I'm not all that good of an artist." "Oh, don't say that. I'm sure you're right around the corner from your big break. These things take time."
"I hope so," Nathan said with a hopelessly insincere chuckle.
"Hey, quit drinking all the merchandise. That stuff will make you sick."
"I hope not," she said with a giggle. "Or else I'll know who to blame. I'll take you for all you're worth, mister."
He smiled, strained to reflect her light tone back at her. "Oh, I mean, too much of it will make you sick. But still, put that somewhere out of sight. Don't want anyone to think we're stealing the goods." He was scrambling. He needed her to stop drinking. Everything was going according to plan, but this wasn't supposed to happen. Cassandra wasn't supposed to get hurt. How long would it take to kick in anyway? An hour? Maybe longer? The woman with the red hair was assuredly dead, or at least in the hospital by now. Out of sight, out of mind. But he had to work with Cassandra for the next 8 hours. He would watch her pale and wilt and then collapse, knowing all the while that this was his doing. Should he call the police? Two poisonings surely wasn't enough to land him as much publicity as he wanted, and going back at this point would surely undo everything he'd done. If he turned back now, called the police, and ushered Cassandra to a hospital, he'd end up in jail, inevitable at this point, and his paintings would remain unsold. Not so inevitable. Why should he give it up now? Just for one person? And Cassandra, of all people? A customer walked through the door. Nathan looked at Cassandra and nodded his head, indicating that she should take his order. As Cassandra greeted the customer, making sure to mention their special new cold brew, Nathan stealthily swiped her drink. He poured it down the drain as quickly as he could, filled it with regular iced coffee with a few sprinkles of cinnamon. The cold brew was a hit. At one point, Nathan had to open a new box of plastic cups. Normally, they went through a box in 3 days, let alone a single morning. Cassandra was right. He had struck the exact right chord with customers. Those out for a Saturday stroll, breathing in the dregs of summer before it molted into autumn. Those squeezing in that last bike ride before cold weather lassitude took over. Cold brew cinnamon coffee fit that temperament perfectly, a cross between the delights of summer and fall. Nathan again did not know how to feel. He supposed he should feel worse. A lack of remorse was a hallmark of a sociopath, was it not? But for some reason, he couldn't. The thought of those paintings leaving his apartment was incentive enough for him to keep smiling, to keep fulfilling orders, to drain more poison into plastic cups and hand it out to unaware victims. Cassandra complained of some stomach pain, but overall seemed fine. Maybe there hadn't been enough paint cleaner in her drink. Maybe those few sips had done it. If she'd had more, maybe she wouldn't be standing. He had no way of knowing. Nathan checked the level on the cold brewer, a large chrome cylinder with a spout at its base. It was about 3/4 empty. How many gallons could it fit? 50? 75? He remembered pouring the water in the night before, listening to it gurgle and gurgle as it drank. He poured the paint cleaner in with the coffee grounds. His hand didn't shake, but again he couldn't watch and set the machine to brew overnight. By mid-morning, he decided that he had poisoned enough. Now all he could do was wait for someone to connect the dots, eventually leading back to him. That would give him plenty of time to sort out who would distribute his paintings once he was behind bars. He had established new prices the night before. Not a one was below 10 grand. It almost made him wish he'd been more prolific. Arthur Coldwell's paintings were derivative and obvious in the worst way, but in 5 to 10 years, he'd have a nice nest egg waiting for him in the bank. That and some notoriety attached to his name. Nathan smiled. He briefly considered if it was normal to smile, if Arthur had smiled after he had stabbed that banker with a butter knife, but he decided he didn't care. For the first time in years, he felt like he was moving in the right direction. Fame, prestige, an empty study, and a full bank account. A little break behind bars? Maybe a long break, depending on the lawyer, and plenty of time to perfect his craft. And what a perfect setting, too. Who was it that said art comes from adversity? Once he's out in a few decades, he'd have money, notoriety, and finely honed skills. It wasn't until the woman with flaming red hair stormed into the coffee shop, skin sallower and eye bags deeper, looking like she'd escaped a quarantine hospital wing, that Nathan began to truly doubt. "You," she spat, her voice cracking. "You put something in my drink yesterday, didn't you?" "I," Nathan said.
Yes, she heaved. You put something in my drink. She panted several times, a thin line of drool oozing from the corner of her mouth. Yesterday, cinnamon in my drink.
I'm sorry, I really don't know what you're talking about, Nathan said. But why deny it? Wasn't this all part of the plan?
You did this to me. I saw you did something.
Cassandra edged her way around the corner, resting a hand on the woman's shoulder. People, some of them drinking Nathan's cold brew, were staring.
Are you okay, miss? Cassandra asked.
She slapped Cassandra's hand away.
I bet you're in on it. You made my drink wrong. Tricked me. She coughed several times. Cinnamon? I knew it tasted off. Not normal cinnamon.
What do you mean, not normal? A man asked, setting his newspaper and cold brew on the table.
Not right, she said, plopping into a chair Cassandra brought over for her. Not normal. I thought maybe it was a special blend or something.
She was breathing heavily now. Her forehead was covered with a film of sweat. Her cheeks were pale. Even those bright red curls that had seemed so aggressive yesterday were now deflated, hanging limply down her cheeks.
But no, she continued, not a special blend. Poison. Was up all night, vomiting my brains out. Went to the hospital, they took a blood test. Poison, they said, some kind of chemical.
I'm sorry, said another patron, also holding an iced coffee, but did you say that the cinnamon didn't taste right? Like maybe it had kind of a tang to it?
Exactly, she said with a laugh, exactly like that.
Several people pulled out their cell phones. Others pulled the lids off their cups. Cassandra went white. They said I'd live. Worst food poisoning I've ever had, but I'll be okay. Just some medicine to clear it out of my system, they said.
Wait, did you just say that you'll live?
The words were out of Nathan's mouth before he knew what he was doing. Every eye in the coffee shop was suddenly aimed at him. Cassandra's mouth hung up. She lunged for a trash can and began heaving.
Get used to it, sweetie, the red-haired woman said.
The sound of sirens began to whine and grow in the distance.
You're in for a long night.
In the end, he only poisoned about 20 people. The dosage was diluted, enough that it only affected those with sensitive stomachs. Both to his chagrin and his relief, all of them lived, though he was sure each of them wanted him dead. Turns out the only major side effect of his all-natural paint cleaner was protracted and severe, but not fatal, stomach pain. Some of the news sites had fun with the story. He'd earned himself several ignominious monikers like the Mad Crapper and the Barf Barista. But the story ultimately faded after a few days. And during his half hour of internet time, supervised by guards and the wandering eyes of prisoners waiting their turn, Nathan visited his website to stare, once again, at his many unsold paintings.
That concludes episode 30 of Pilcrow and Dagger the Shorts. We hope you enjoyed listening to our production of Cold Brewed by Kevin Roller. Special thank you to our soundtrack provider, Kevin McLeod, for letting us use his songs Happy Boy End Theme, Comfortable Mystery No. 3, and Comfortable Mystery No. 4. All of Kevin's songs are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 and can be found on his website, incompetech.com. Sound effects are a courtesy of freesound.org. We hope you enjoyed today's production, and we look forward to seeing you next time. My name is A. Marie Silver, wishing you a happy week. Thank you.